This weekend, clocks get set back an hour, the symbolic, albeit unofficial, beginning of fall. Another sign of autumn is the distinctive V of Canadian geese that dot the sky as they perform their annual migration south. If there's a fall bird migration in Iraq, our next guest is certain to know. Now, for security reasons, we'll identify him simply as John. John is with the National Guard. He's been in Iraq for about 9 months, and since arriving in country, he's been keeping a log of the birds he's seen on an internet blog. Here's one of his entries for Tuesday, March 16, 2004.
I'm a soldier in Iraq. I've been mobilized for up to 18 months, which includes a definite 12 months in Iraq and Kuwait. I've been birding since I was 12, which makes it 24 years now. I'm in New England Medical Unit, and I plan to write about my nature observations during my time here, both birds and other critters. I've got to get back to work now. Out.
John joins us on the line from Iraq. Of course, that was him. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure, sir.
Is there a fall bird migration in Iraq?
Yes. We're right in the middle of it. It started in July with the shorebirds, the sandpipers, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now we're into the ducks and the songbirds.
What are some of the birds you've seen in Iraq that you've never seen before elsewhere?
Well, I've seen about 45 or 50 birds that I've never seen before. Never seen white storks before, the famous birds you see in Europe nesting on the chimneys. One of my favorite is the blue-cheeked bee eaters. They're kind of this bright green bird with golden underwings, and they kind of zip and dive all over the place, twittering while they go. And I guess my favorite bird is the white-cheeked bulbul, which actually Tennyson wrote about in one of his poems about Baghdad.
The white-cheeked what?
Bulbul, B-U-L-B-U-L.
How do you recognize all these birds?
Well, before I left, I got a field guide to the birds of the Middle East, and I seem to have a good memory for visual things. So most of the birds I see, I know at least generally what they are, and then I'll go to my guidebook for the hard things, like some of the sandpipers and the old world warblers, little brown jobs that, you know, there may be five or six species. That mm-hmm.
Do you think you have been able to learn something about Iraq because you were a birder that just might have escaped other people?
I think so. You know, no matter where you go, cycles of nature, they really kind of go on unimpeded by what people seem to be doing around you. You know, when we're coming up from Kuwait, you know, there's a little crested lark hopping along right in front of us. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this thing couldn't care less if, you know, there's a bunch of heavily armed people near it or if a car bomb went off up the street. So it's kind of comforting to know that, you know, nature keeps on going, kind of despite us sometimes.
John, have you met other birders in Iraq, either in other army units or Iraqis themselves?
Well, the local guys I talked to are mostly farmers, and they're very knowledgeable about kind of natural history. So we talk about hudhud, which is the hoopoe, which is a very interesting bird, and stork they call lock lock, and sometimes they sing me a little song about the lock lock.
Have you seen a hoopoe? I understand they're quite prized.
Yes, I've seen them several times. Unusual bird with a big crest that it can put up and down, and a big long bill. And some of the local folklore say that it has magical properties. They use its bones in making love potions and things like that. So they appreciate it in maybe different ways that I do.
You know, you describe life for you, including being able to bird with a kind of normalcy that we usually don't hear about life in Iraq.
Well, yeah, I think that my hobby here, birding and observing nature, is a coping mechanism to deal with what goes on around here. It is a dangerous place, but I'm kind of the school that your time, you're not going to stop it. And if it isn't your time, then don't worry too much about it. We have daily rocket attacks. We have had car bombs. We've had people killed here on our base. So it's not a safe place, but that's a small part of the day for me. You know, the rest of the day can be very normal. We have bingo on Thursday nights. So it's not a constant barrage on the senses like one might get the impression of watching the news. That's a small sample of, you know, the totality of what is happening here.
John, nice talking to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Can we talk with you again sometime?
Oh, no problem.
John is a soldier with the National Guard in Iraq, speaking with us by satellite phone. And for a link to his weblog, Birding Babylon, you can come to our website, npr.org.